In the late 1920s in Yerushalayim, there was a young man studying in a yeshiva. His name was Reb Yitzchak Charif. He studied in a yeshiva that you can visit today. I highly recommend it. It is very inspiring, at least for me. If you go down Rehov Yafo, just past Ben Yehuda, there's a little side street on the left side called Rehov Harav Kook. Go up that little side street, or if you're coming from Hanavim, you make a right turn going down, and there's now a beautiful new apartment building built there, but right next to this big, beautiful apartment building now, there's still the same two-story stone Yerushalmi building that was the original home of Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav, of Rav Kook's yeshiva, the Yeshiva Merkazit HaOlamit, and the Beis Medrash is still exactly the way that it was when it was built, funded by Harry Fishel in the 1920s, and you can go there. We had the chance, we had the amazing schus to take our family to Israel and stay near there, and so we went there, we davened there, and my son Chaim, I was a little too nervous, but the raised platform in front of the Aron Kodesh is still there, exactly the way that it was. So I was so nervous to stand where Rav Kook stood, like, to Duchen, didn't go up there, I was petrified. But kids, it's interesting how they don't have the same year as Aron was. So Chaim, I forget exactly how old he was at that time, he went up to Duchen from there, and he said to me afterwards, like, "Hi, Duchen, where Rav Kook stood?" I'm like, "Yes, you did." So you could go there, there's a beautiful, there's like a Hatzagah, it's like a museum now. And I highly recommend it. So you can imagine being in this space, which you could still visit today. And this young man, Reb Yitzchak Charif, was a student in Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav. And apparently, he did a hilarious, spot-on imitation of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. And apparently, the minig, the practice in this yeshiva, in Yeshiva Merkazit HaOlamit, was to have what's called a Rav Purim, a Purim Rav. He was crowned the Rosh Yeshiva for the day, and so he got up and he delivered a parody of Rav Kook, which apparently left everyone in tears on the floor, including Rav Kook thought that it was hilarious. Rav Kook said that this parody of him was Mida Keneged Mida. Why? Because in 1885, when Rav Kook was the top student in Volozhin, he was elected to be the Purim Rav to create a Gramen. They had like a very, Rav Kook was a brilliant poet, a complex poem imitating, and apparently he did a great imitation of the Volozhin Rosh Yeshiva, the Netziv. So he said, "What goes around, comes around." So this is a long-standing tradition. If you look, this is a picture of Rav Kook shortly thereafter. He just graduated from Volozhin Yeshiva. He's a Rav in a small town called Zoymol. And so the controversy we're going to touch on this morning, obviously very timely as we approach Purim, is the question of the propriety of this practice of Purim spiels. Different places, they have different practices. I know that apparently years ago in this shul, there was a Purim spiel at one time, but I know that at this time, there is no Purim spiel. But when I was in YU, one of the current Rosh Yeshiva in YU, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who just came recently, visited with us. So he's a little older than me. He was in the Kol Elyon at the time, or he may have just finished. But he was the one who always played Rav Schechter in the Purim spiel, which was very memorable and hilarious. And I still think that there is a spiel Ad HaYom Hazeh. Our oldest son, Chaim, because he's a senior in Skokie Yeshiva, he actually is one of the main producers of the Skokie Yeshiva spiel. So last night, he came back home, I don't know, it was like almost midnight. Like every night, he's coming home. He has his brown beard, makeup on. They're filmed because they have to film the spiel. Now, they get smart, the Hanhala. There's no live spiel anymore. That is over in high school, so it has to be videoed before, and it is seen by the Hanhala, which will fit the parameters of what we're going to talk about today. But it's funny, but Rabbi Feldman used to play Rav Schechter, and one of the best scenes, I don't wear glasses, so I can't do this well, but Rav Schechter, Shlita, he wears two pairs of glasses, Thank God now he's 80 years old. But at that time, even he was in his 60s. I guess one pair of glasses is for reading and one pair of glasses is for seeing. I guess, I don't know if anybody else has this. So in this year, so he was constantly oscillating between two pairs of glasses. So he had the Gemara. So I was in Rav Shach this year for years. He has the Gemara. He's reading with his Gemara reading glasses. Then he takes off the Gemara glasses. He puts on the regular glasses to look at all the boys. So we were looking at him, and Rabbi Feldman, one year for the spiel, he gets up, he takes out a pair of glasses, he puts them on, he takes off the glasses, he gets another pair of glasses, he puts on a third pair of glasses, he takes out rec specs, he's putting them on, he's going through like a routine of eight different pairs of glasses, what it's like watching Rav Shechter in the shiur between the different glasses. So there is a practice of such a thing, a Purim Rav and a Purim spiel, and how do we think about this? Because it is a matter of controversy. Because on the one hand, the truth is, if I were funny, I would have started this year with a joke. There are some rabbis who are very humorous. I'm not one of them. But those who are, you have to be very self-aware, especially when it comes to humor. But those who are, they could start this year with a joke. And that fulfills the dictum in the Gemara. You see in the Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, Rabba Mekami de Pasach Lula Rabbanon. Rabba, before he would start the shiur, teaching all the Chachamim, all the Bachrim, the Tzurv Me'arbanon, Amar Milsa de B'dichusa. He used to say a joke, something that was funny. Ubadchu Rabbanon. All the rabbis laughed at the joke. Lesof, afterwards, Yosef Be'emsa Upasach B'shmaita. Then he got very serious. Talmud Torah requires Ema Yir Reses and Zeya. We're coming to receive the Dvar Hashem. So then he would get serious. But he would open every shiur with a joke. And probably it was a great tactic to get people to relax and clear their mind and focus. So he started every shiur with a joke. So the role of humor is certainly one which fits even inside a Beis Medrash. And the Gemara has, here if you look in the bottom in Tanis and Daf Chaf Beis, the Gemara has the story. Some of you are probably familiar with this story about how Eliyahu HaNavi, you know, he appears sometimes in the Gemara in different places. So he's telling a story how Eliyahu HaNavi is standing in the corner of the market and he sees two guys. He says, these guys, they are B'nai Olam Haba. They're going to merit a share in the world to come. Why? So he says, Asu Hanu Trei, these two guys come, second line. Omalei Hanach, these guys, Nami Bnei Alma Da'asi, they are people of the world to come, Ninhu, they are. Why? Ozla Gabayu, so he went to talk to them. Amaluhu, Mai Uvdaichu, what do you guys do? Third line. Amrulei, they said to him, Inshi Baduchi Anan, we are professional jokers. We're shtickmachers. That's what we do. Anan Mivadchinan Atzivi. We make sad people laugh. That's what we do. We cheer people up. So we make jokes, we have practical jokes, and we make people smile. So it's a big inyan to make people smile, to make people laugh. Ad kedekach, that Eliona, and these people were clearly nondescript. It's not like they were particularly pious people. But Eliona says, they're going to go to Olam Haba, because when they see somebody who feels broken, who feels down, they find a way to cheer them up. And so, of course, in the time of Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, we want to find ways to cheer people up. And sometimes they could even be silly ways. If you look in the next Gemara, this Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi is one of the great Tanoim, right? The great sages of the Mishnah. Shahayanotel Bad Shalhadas. He would take a myrtle branch, Umarakeid lefnei hakala, and dance before a kala. Of course, there's a mitzvah to be mitzameach a chasen and a kala. So when Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was invited to a wedding, so he would bring, I guess it's the equivalent of acrobatic, I don't know, paraphernalia, or those juggling things, right? So he was juggling at the wedding. And he would say, kala no v'chasuda, how beautiful is this kala? Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, Merakid Atlas. He would juggle three myrtle branches, three hadasim at the weddings. Amrab Zera, so Rab Zera said about him, Kos Mifsach Michsaflon Saba. This old man, Michsaflon, it literally means is embarrassing us. It's Shemtsach, it's not Pas. that a big Talmud Chacham should come to a wedding and start juggling with myrtle branches? It's not pas. That was Reb Zeira's take on this. So what happens? The Gemara tells an amazing conclusion of the story. Ki nach nafshei, but when Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak passed on from this world, ifzik amuda denura, a pillar of fire interposed bein didei lekuli alma, between him and all of the people gathered for the funeral. And the Gemara says we have a tradition, Gemira, delo ifzik nura, that there does not appear at a funeral a pillar of fire, except if you are one of the top one or two greatest sages of the generation. So what is the Gemara telling us the story for? The Gemara is telling us the story to say that he did something silly, and that min hashamayim, the Rebbeinu Shlomo shows that when he passed away, he wasn't embarrassing the Talmidei Chachamim, that it was something wonderful that he did, even though it looked ridiculous. But it was for Simchas Kala. So they have, you ever go to a wedding, you have such a thing. People come out, they wear the kid's high school basketball jersey and the hat that they stole from his closet and all kinds of other like silly things. So you say, why is that at a wedding? Why do you have silliness at a wedding? The answer is, it's already based on the Gemara, that it's this shtick. And that if it makes the person smile, they have signs. There's the choreographic situation going on, right? So there's somebody who's probably in charge of all the shtick and the bags and the stuff. So that's what the Gemara says. And it says he was such a gadol that when he passed away, he was recognized, min hashamayim, as one of the two. So this is just, on the one hand, the value and the role of things that are fun. Just plain fun, whether it's telling a joke at the beginning of the shiur or doing something silly at a wedding to make people smile, to make them laugh. And so perhaps this is some of the origin of this trend that on Purim is a day of tremendous simcha. And so maybe that's how you came up with these kind of parodies. There's an interesting book. This was a book that was published. You see, it's now free online because the expiration expired. It was published in 1906, Parody in Jewish Literature by Israel Davidson. You can go online on Google Books and you go through. It has a whole history, hundreds and hundreds of years of different Purim, Maseches Purim, and other kinds of shtick, written shtick, parodies. Every year, my teacher, I could send it to you this year if you want, I haven't gotten it yet, but usually my teacher, Rabbi Dr. Eddie Reichman, he always puts together Tzigazunt some kind of Purim parody like this. So last year, I think, was Maseches Corona, with all the, with the Gemara, with the Rashi and the Tosus. You all see these kinds of things. So that's probably the origins of this. And that's probably how the whole Purim Rav shtick got going on. So this, if you look on the right side, there's a sefer, it was published in Munkach, you see in Tafresh Samach Tes, quite some time ago, called Sicha Schul and Shal Talmidei Chachamim. So they tell a Maisa story, which there are probably 10 other versions of this same story, and they appear over the course of a lot of different years about a lot of different people. The story that you're seeing in this sefer is about the Noda Behuda, the Heliger of Yechezkel Landau of Prague, but there are many other characters who are going to fit into this story. And this indicates that the role of a Purim Rav was a little more ubiquitous. You'll notice this morning's shiur, in the spirit of fun and Purim, is a little lighter than our regular. So take a look. He says, Kanoda Haminag, we know there's a practice, Bechol Asar Va'asar, he's saying in every place, everybody did this, Livchor Bapurim, to choose on Purim, Ish Echad Larav, to choose one guy from the neighborhood, usually he's funny, he's going to be the rabbi for Purim, V'koronos B'Shem Purim Rav, and they call him the Purim Rav. Uh-oh. Well, one time, here's what happened. Pam Achas Vino B'Prag, one time in Prague, they got one guy, Echad Mitalmidei Hagon HaNodeh B'Yehuda, one of the Nodeh B'Yehuda's students, the Noda Behuda, the 18th century great Gaon, rabbi in Prague, one of his students, he was elected to be the Purim Rav. Now, the only thing worse than a funny Purim Rav, as it relates to this story, is going to be a funny Purim Rav who already is Mekayim the Din of Chayv Inish Lebesume. He's already intoxicated. So that could be a problematic Shidduch, as we will see. A person we know is, according to the Shulchan Aruch, required to drink more than usual. Well, that can sometimes lead to unintended consequences, you could say, especially if you happen to be the perm rav and you had a few too many. So what happens? Uchetov lev harav hapurumi b'yayin. So you see, this is a paragraph from, that's right, it's ripped right out of the Megillah. Uchetov lev harav purim b'yayin. What happens? Adelo yada, when he's already at the level, diber sara al rabo hagon anal. Ouch. He started to speak, and now it's not a joke, and this is part of what we have to talk about this, is because what started out as a cute, funny joke, now is not so funny anymore, because he started to insult the Noda Behuda. So now you have a little bit of a problem. Umolat mipiv, fourth line, mitoch shechruso, because of his state of drunkenness, divrei lag ubuz kenegdo, he started mocking the Noda Behuda. Okay, so what happens the next day? Now, not so funny. Lamacharas, the next day, kishin nispakeach, when he finally came to, his kiru chaver of his hadavar, his friends told him, you know what you said yesterday to the Noda Behuda? You know, the great Gadol Hador, right here in Prague? Ouch. Hochichu al dvarim, fifth line, they rebuked him. Shehotzi mitoch piv neged rabu l'talmid, Lahu chara v'yatzar ma'od al zeh, v'yitzar ma'od al zeh. So this guy had a lot of charata. He felt terrible. It was really bad. So he went to the Noda Behuda to ask for forgiveness. So he comes to the Noda Behuda to ask him forgiveness, and the Noda Behuda is mochel him. Fine. So here comes the pity stinger. The Noda Behuda has a son, and he says to him, Daddy, that's it? You just, it's fine? So, I don't understand. What happened yesterday? Yesterday, when he was shikar, when he was intoxicated, he said all those horrible things about you. And what does that show? What happens when a person is intoxicated? Gemara has a tradition. What's that?
Truth,
that's it. Nichnas yayin yotza sod. So all of a sudden, the secrets come out from the truth. So, like, how do you feel about that? So he said, his son said to him, there is a Yiddish expression, and this appears in different languages and different stories, but it's basically the same thing. You see on the line that starts the word, Vayomer lo beno halo ze al ze yomer hamoshlim. The people say, Vos by anichterin of the lung, what is in a person's lung is by a shikarin oif ditzing, for a drunk is on their tongue. So he says, wait a second, what that person was thinking is what they were really saying. So he says, well, wait a second. The Noda Behuda gives him a great answer. He says, well, if this were really true, you know what we should do then? We should take every animal, and before we shecht it, we should give it some schnapps. Because you know that when you shecht an animal, what do you have to check for afterwards? You have to check the lung for sirchus. So if it's true that alcohol brings out what's in the lung, we should check for sirchus by not intoxicating the animal. But we don't do that. So why does the Gemara not suggest that you should check the animal by giving it alcohol? So Noda Behuda said, because when it comes to behemoths, that rule doesn't apply. That was the punchline of the story from the Noda Behuda. But the point is, and this is what we really want to bring out, is that when we talk about this idea of a Purim Rav and fun and shtick and all this kind of stuff, we have to think carefully about how exactly this is being done. And of course, on some level, I'm assuming, and we can assume, that the premise of the whole Purim Rav and the Purim Spiel and the episode with Rav Kook, which Rav Neria tells over this Maisa with Rav Kook, that Rav Kook was the great Purim Rav, that the Netziv really appreciated it, and he thought that it was hilarious, and the Netziv was very close to Rav Kook, and he considered Rav Kook, he said to someone after this Purim Rav, he said, not only is he the best Bachar in the yeshiva, Rav Kook allowed the Netziv to wear tefillin the entire day in Valashim, which was not accepted generally. He's also, the Netziv said, he's also the funniest and the best person to imitate me. And that probably comes from this din in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 4, Harav HaMuvak, a person is a Rebbe Muvak, Shemachal Al Kavodo, who decides that he wants to forgive. Well, in this case, mechila doesn't really mean to forgive. It means to forego his personal honor. B'chol advar ma'ilu, all these things, o be'echad mehem, or one of them, l'chol tamidav o le'echad mehem, to all of the students, or to one of them, kvodo machol, his covetous machol. So if a Rebbe says, do me a favor, don't stand up for me, it's fine. So he has the right to do that. And that's mistama, the issue when it comes to Purim Shpils, that the Rebbe is probably mochel. But it's not so simple. Because when we talk about somebody being mochel, well, to what extent are they mochel, and what are they mochel on? And look at the last line in the Shulchan Aruch. Nonetheless, va'afal pisha mochel, even though he was mochel, mitzvah ala talmid lahadro. It is a mitzvah on the student to be mahadr the Rebbe. So what kind of joke are you saying? If the joke that you're saying is good-hearted in nature, and you know that joke that I mentioned before, that Rabbi Feldman used to imitate Rav Schechter with multiple pairs of glasses, I don't think anybody would insinuate from that anything insulting about Rav Schechter, Shlita. The fact that he wears two pairs of glasses and that he likes to look in the Gemara when he's reading the Gemara and that he wants to look at all the boys when he's teaching so that he can see us and answer our questions, nobody would think that that's anything insulting, but other things maybe. And this is something which we need to take very seriously, and this is what we need to take a step back for and realize. When we were kids, people told us sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And we've mentioned before that it is literally the dumbest thing you could ever say. It is literally the dumbest thing you could ever say, because it is exactly the opposite. In our house, the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us, among our children, many broken bones. many broken bones. And Baruch Hashem, He has also given us many orthopedic visits. And they square it away. Whether it's the way that you planned it or not, it's interesting. I have one child right now who has a collarbone that kind of looks like this, but that's okay. Zolzheim. That's what it is. That's what they tell us. Eventually, it'll grow back to be normal or something. But okay. So he'll live with a funny collarbone. You wouldn't notice if I didn't show you the x-ray. But names? When you hurt someone on the inside, on their level of their emotion, of their neshama, of their sense of self, it could be devastating. And that's why I wanted to take just a minute to turn your attention. This Gemara in source number 5, I gave you the whole piece of Gemara with the Tzuras Hadaf. It's actually it's mislabeled here. It's Gemara in Bava Metzia Nun Chesamid Beis. The Mishnah says the following. This is all about monetary issues. This perek, about monetary transactions. In the middle of the perek in Bava Metzia that's dealing with commercial dealings, banking and lending and all kinds of commerce, Kishem She'una B'mekach, just like there is a prohibition to price gouge when it comes to a sale, umemkar, and with selling, kach ona bidvarim. There is all such a thing as onoas dvarim, verbal abuse. There is financial abuse when you extort from someone unjustly, you take out more from their pocket than they should be paying, but there's also verbal abuse. And this takes very interesting forms in the Mishnayos. So for example, the first example in the Mishnah, and the reason why it comes up in this context, is because, let's say, you go to a store. I'm going to give you the most extreme example. The best way to handle this, I think, is my late teacher, the great Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who is a very, very important authority on business halacha, business ethics. He wrote like 4 or 5 books. I had the chance to take business halacha with him for two years when I was in Reitz. He was an amazing tzaddik, and he writes a lot about this. So we'll use the reasonable man test, so don't get freaked out. But the Mishnah says, you go into a store, and you have absolutely no, none, zero intention or possibility of buying something in this store. And you could say, even if we want to make it even more extreme, it's not a department store where it's customary for people come in and do window shopping. Let's say, especially in a boutique store, that they take care of their customers, they want to get to know their customers, and they want to, you know, develop a rapport with them, and it's very personal. It's not like Stam, a big department store. It's the shop owner, they have the vested interest. You go into the store, and you start looking around, and then you find something, and you spend 10 minutes talking to the person to get information about that product. But you have no intention of buying it. The worst case scenario, you get the attention about the product because you want to go home and find the manufacturer in China, and you're going to knock it off. The Mishnah says, that's onos dvarim, that's an issur d'oraisa to do that. Now, I'm not saying, and this is why Rabbi Levine's rule of the reasonable man is very important, I'm not saying you can't go window shopping. First of all, sometimes, I'm not going to also characterize who might be doing things like this, sometimes people like going shopping. It's a strange thing. It's a bizarre phenomenon. People like going shopping. Then, they have even a worse thing, is that they weren't planning on getting something, and then they get something, which is, all right, we're not going down this whole rabbit hole. This is a problem. So, such people, there's nothing wrong. Obviously, maybe they're going to find something. Maybe they're going to, like, who knows? But the point is, use the reasonable man test. What's reasonable in this situation? What's customary? What's understandable? Same thing the Mishnah says. How do you speak to a person who's a Baal Tshuva? When you're driving in the car, when you pass by, you know, Red Lobster, do you say to them, oh, you know, Red Lobster makes me think of you, huh? How was it in those days when you used to sit down on Sunday night to five courses of crustaceans for $8.99? You ever see those advertisements? You wonder, like, how's a child that's $8.99 for a five-course dinner? I don't know. No hechsher. No hechsher, exactly. I don't know what it is. It's not child. Like, I don't know. But you can't do that. So too, and the Gemara goes on to give several examples of this, and then the Gemara goes even more extreme. And I think this is why understanding this Gemara is so crucial, because you could tell me, okay, it's an issur d'oraisa, I got to be careful for that. But the Gemara goes on and on with examples, graphic examples of scenarios, in case it was not clear to you how sensitive you have to be about speaking about people and making jokes at other people's expense. So the Gemara has a ton of examples, and it says, if you go down, I marked in lines so it's easier to see. Let's just go down for a second to line 28. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Nei Rav Shimon bar Yochai, gadol onos dvar me'onos mamon." It's more serious to abuse somebody verbally than it is to rip them off financially. And he quotes a pasuk. Line 31. Tani Tana Kamed Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Many of you have probably heard this line, and this is it in context. Kol Amal Bim Pnei Chaveiro Berabim. Someone who whitens the face of their fellow, meaning shames them in public. Keilu Shofech Damim. It's as if they are murdering. So you have to be careful. You have to be so careful. Today, it's probably even more, right? So, like, for example, we could make a joke, and we did make a joke, about how the non-kosher food at Red Lobster is so cheap compared to going out to a kosher restaurant. But the truth is, maybe we shouldn't make that joke, because maybe we should be sensitive to the fact that there are restaurateurs and proprietors who maybe are sensitive to that. I don't know. You have to really think carefully. And the idea that Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Barabim is Ki'ilu Shofech Damim, the Gemara on the next page tells the story. It's not here because it's too long. The Gemara at the end of this page says, Yordan L'Gehenim, and don't come up. It's the people who are Mechan Hashem L'Chaveir, Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Barabim. The Gemara, and later, not on the page, the Gemara later tells the story of David HaMelech, that when he used to go give a shiur, people would make cracks. You know, the guys in the peanut gallery would say, yeah, David HaMelech, well, yeah, I know we're learning today Bava Metzia, but I had a shaila about an issue related to Eishes Ish, about an Arayas question, Hilchas Gittin. So why were they asking him about Hilchas Gittin? Because they're needling him about the story of Bathsheba. So the Gemara says, David HaMelech would say to them, They say, look, we could deal with that halachic question separately, but I do know that Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim in lo chelik l'olam haba. So, okay. So, it's good to have a joke, and it's good to have a laugh, and it's good to be Mesameach L'chos and a Kala, it's good to have a Purim Rav, and all, you know, yes, there's a place for all these things. And if the Rav is Mochel, Kavod is Mochel. But the notion of Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, of shaming people, of hurting their feelings, you have to be really careful. You have to be really careful. So if you see, on the next page, there's a little footnote. Rav Moshe Sternbach in the Moadim Uzmanim, he has a series of responsa on the holidays. So this is from a footnote, page 186 in the bottom. He quotes a kuntris. And this is going to bring us to the last source, which is what I wanted to end with, the culmination, which is very, very stark on this issue. But the first is, this is the Moadim Uzmanim of Moshe Sternbach on the top, and number six, he says, "Umatzinu." I found this in the Kuntres, "Umatzinu makomos v'afilim v'amim eitzel b'nei Torah." We found in certain places, even in b'nei Torah, "Shekovim yachad mesiba b'purim." They get together and they have a Purim party. "Kedei lehislotzeitz," to make jokes, "va'afilu me rabbanu v'talmidei chachamim rachman l'slan," and they make fun of even of rabbis. "Va'ovrim oz b'chamuros shebachamuros," and they violate the most grave of serious be'isr bizoy talmidei chachamim, of shaming and humiliating talmidei chachamim, malbim b'nei chaver barabim, lashon hara v'chadoma she'elam chelek li'olam haba. This is the serious of serious. "Ubefrat," fifth line, "im haTalmud Chacham shomei amizeh," that the Talmud Chacham hears about this, "umitztar," and is hurt, "umizbayish," who avon plili mamish, "afilu bepurim," even on Purim. "Vaksherim," what do the righteous people do? "Noagu lislotzitz biyom zeh mehaman v'amalek v'aminim v'kofrim izbolim l'umiyim porkeol v'chadomeh." So people who want to make a Purim spiel, they should make a Purim spiel of things that it's appropriate to make fun of. There are a lot of things. And we all know there are comedians out there who make their living tearing people down. And then there are comedians out there who make fun of things that are just funny. You know? They're just, they pick out something that's ordinary and they highlight in a way that just, it's very humorous. It doesn't hurt anybody. Doesn't tear anybody down. It's just funny, right? We don't have to spend the time now, it's probably Bittul Torah, to regale each other with meisim of different comedians that we've heard who do this in a good way, in a not good way. But that's the thing. It's all about how you do it. But not in a way, lo chas v'shalom from talmidei chachamim shemavaza osim ein lo refuah l'makaso, God forbid. And even for righteous, regular people, and you never know. You never know where it's going to go. So this brings us to actually to the main source that I wanted to focus on. We're just going to focus on it briefly, but this is where there is one primary lengthy tshuva on this issue. There's one responsum from Rav Avadya Zichrono Livracha in the Yechaveh Das. The Yechaveh Das are the tshuvas that are the shorter volume, the shorter tshuvas that Rav Avadya published based on the radio addresses that he used to give on Friday. On Friday, Erev Shabbos on the radio, he used to address a question in halacha, and then later he wrote it up and he published it in the short volumes in Yechaveh Das. The longer tshuvas, the gigantic volumes, are Yabia Omer, and the small ones are Yechaveh Das. This is from the same pasuk in Tehillim. So somebody asked him in the fifth volume in Yechaveh Das, Shela, Bedvara Minig, regarding the minig, shenispashit lachrona b'chugia yeshivas, that became prevalent in various yeshivas lately, shebachura ha-yeshiva, although we saw it's not just recently, that the bachrim of the yeshiva, bochrim lahem rav purim, they choose a rav purim, asher ketok libo b'yayin, when he is seriously well into his wine, mashmiya divri bikoris, he starts criticizing, toch kedei, and this is very serious, Rav Avadya says, hatochas elbonos ishiyim. Personal, ishiyim means personal, elbonos means humiliating. Personal, humiliating barbs. B'divrei hitov v'leitzanas al cheshben rashi ha'yeshiva v'hamor v'hamechanchim. On the rabbeim, on the teachers, on the administration, v'hashomim, and the people are listening. Memalim piyem schok u'mizbadchem v'shom ezvar. Everyone's laughing, everyone thinks it's hilarious. Ha'im minek zeh. Yachon al pi halacha. So go to the next page. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I did not even give you the whole tshuva, but I gave you a big chunk of it. Okay. So part of this tshuva deals with other issues, which we're not talking about today, related to Purim, where there are certain interesting, and there's more to say about this, there are interesting leniencies when we allow people to have more of a festive time. So there used to be, it sounds like in the Middle Ages, except especially at weddings, there was a jousting. I've never been to a wedding. I've been to a lot of interesting weddings, but never one where they had horses and people jousting. But in the Middle Ages, that was a great shtick, better than basketball or something like that. The problem with jousting, okay, right? Somebody might get hurt. Or even if they don't hurt you, they might rip your pants or something like that. So that's nezek or chavala. So that's a question in halacha. What about if people are getting wild on Purim and somebody breaks something that belongs to somebody else? What about Purim costumes? Because generally we have an Isser d'oraisa of a man wearing women's garb. What about a woman wearing a man's garb? What about, you know, I don't know if you're planning to wear a sheitel this Purim, but like these are important halachic questions. You have plenty of time to plan, but these are all interesting halachic kind of nuggets that go into this story. So Ravadia is talking about lots of different things in this tshuva, but then he gets to the Purim spiel situation, and he is very strident. He's very strident. Top line, number one, al kol panim, whatever it is, benidon didon, on our issue, ein safek, there is no doubt in his mind, Sha'osim Kane, the people who do this, Nichsholim Be'isr Chamur. And he uses highly hyperbolic language that they are involved in a serious Isr. V'godol Avona means so. Their sin is greater than they can bear. How? Shame Samim Es Rosh Yeshiva. They put the Rosh Yeshiva, Umoreha, second line, and the teachers, Umechanchea, L'lag L'keles V'keles B'divrei Leitzanos V'hitol. They're mocking them, and they're making fun of them. And you go to the end of the third line, Lo Chorva Yerushalayim, because the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, and when Rav Avadya gets going with Mar Makomos, look out, because he's about to steamroll you with, you see, nonstop Mar Makomos here. The Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed, Al Shabizu Ba Tamini Chachamim, that they mocked the Tamini Chachamim. And it's so dangerous that it has no refua. My ein la marpe, line number five, Amarav, kolam avaza tamini chachamim, ein lo refua lamakaso. And not only that, the next line Rav Avadya says, it's not just the people who put on the Purim spiel, it's also the people who attend and laugh. They fall into what we call the bystander category. You see somebody else tearing someone down, you're a bystander, you're a participant. In the Holocaust Museum, they call the opposite of a bystander an upstander. Stand up and make a macha. It's not right. So if you go along with that, the Gemara tells a story about a woman who was a neighbor here, this Gemara, he quotes is above Metzia, Pei Dalet, Maisel Shel Reb Elezer Reb Shimon, Shenena Shel Shoshama Zolzol Talmud Chacham V'Shasak, that he heard someone mocking Talmud Chacham and he didn't interrupt them. He didn't say, it's not right. He didn't speak up. And that's why fascinating, and this is for, you know, if you want to talk about the bystander effect, Bechlal, when you see something wrong, he has a whole bunch of Mar Makomos here about the bystander effect and how you could even argue, in a certain sense, the Gemara has this expression that the Makablo is Yosar Chomer Min HaOmro. The person who listens is not completely, obviously, because the person who says it, the person said it, but the person who listens, they create a problem. Why? Because the Gemara has this idea in other contexts as well, called, we know it from economics, supply and demand. If nobody bought tickets to the show, there would be no audience, there would be no economic incentive, there would be no show, there would be no making fun. So the Gemara has an expression that when a mouse steals cheese, you know who enables the mouse to steal the cheese? The hole. Because if there was no hole where the mouse could hide the cheese, he wouldn't steal the cheese. So obviously, don't steal cheese. Right? It's not an excuse, but it's saying you're also, by being a bystander, you're enabling people to hurt other people. And he goes on, and this is the key line I think that we should finish with. Go to line number 14. It quotes in the Me'iri. This is such a beautiful line. V'lon shalon etztavinu bepurim al simchol shel hololos v'sholshtus. We were not called upon by the Borei Olam to spend this week, Habo Aleinu Latova, Thursday of Purim, in a happiness of silliness or shtus, idiocy. Ela simcha v'tainug shemagiyim mehem la'avas Hashem. A simcha and a joy that brings a person closer to loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next line he says, it's also true for drinking. If a person's drinking is going to take them away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then they shouldn't drink. What should we be doing on Purim? We should be doing something that brings true happiness, real joy. So it could be a Purim spiel, but we have to make sure, is that Purim spiel done in a way that's not a Purim spiel of hololos and mocking and tearing people down, but it's done in a way that makes people feel happy. But think about the Ikar Mitzvah Sayom. The Ikar Mitzvah Sayom, really, according to the Rambam, the most important parts of the Mitzvah Sayom are not sitting at your meal and drinking. The Ikar Mitzvah Sayom are bringing true happiness, which is all about helping others. You know how good you feel? I was able to get, and Mirtz Hashem, it should work out this year, Halavai, everybody should be well, I was able to get signed up to go and take the kids to deliver for the Ark. Before COVID, we used to do it every year, almost every year. That's you want to know what simcha is? That's simcha. When you drive around and you drop off for people who, mamash, they're looking for your shalach manos that you're dropping off from the Ark, because that's making their Purim Suda. That matanas levyonim in that envelope for those families, that's simcha, that's maybe l'deyavas Hashem. So if we really go inward and we think about, what does it mean, mishloach manos ish l're'eyu? So it's a big hakira in the achronim, but certainly a part of matanas, of mishloach manos, is creating friendships, creating happiness, making people feel good. It's less about, you know, how snazzy my mishloach manos can be to outstrip somebody else's. It's more about thinking, how do I bring more joy to someone else? Which ultimately, of course, brings more joy to me. That's what Baruch Shalom wants. And more important than all of that is Matanas Lev Yonim. Is there anything that gives a person more joy in connecting to Avas Hashem than making a difference mamish in somebody else's life? So we're not saying that you can't have fun and you can't tell jokes at the beginning of a shiur and you can't, you know, have a good time on Purim. We can. But the question is, what's the driver? What's the driver? And maybe one way here is the way perhaps that we can use as a barometer. I once heard this vort in the name of Rav Avram Palm, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, about happiness in general, and I think this is a great way to think about as a barometer for how we go about observing Purim. What are the decisions that we make in terms of how we comport ourselves and what we do in this whole Purim Shpil question? Rav Palm once said, when you think about this particular decision, let's think about how we're going to feel tomorrow. How do we feel tomorrow? If we have a Purim spiel that destroys relationships and tears people down, and then we can't look at those people the next day because of what we said about them or what they said about us, that's very different than constructing a Purim that's filled with giving and connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam and bringing authentic simcha, and then the next day, how do we look back on Purim? We don't say, man, I was blacked out for 6 hours. We say it was mamish full of ohr of simcha v'sos in the yikar. You know, maybe I brought an extra grogger to shul so that maybe there was a kid. I never thought to do this before, but I'm going to bring an extra grogger this year or some shtick that I'm going to bring to shul, not because I need the shtick, but because shtick is fun and maybe there's another kid. I just give it to him in the row or something like that, where the next day you feel like, wow, that was a great Purim. Did anybody ever have... Maybe some people did, but it's not the right thing. Did anybody ever have a spiel where they know it went over the line and the next day they felt so good about it? Nobody felt good about that. No one did. We really feel good about what is nurturing our neshama. And in that respect, hopefully we can have a day of Ora Simcha Sosa Vikar, authentic happiness that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.